And we are live.
All right. Good evening, everyone. It looks like we might still be waiting for a few more members to join us here so we can get to a quorum. I will just give it a couple more minutes. Hi, Emily. Good evening.
Can you?
Hi, Marianne and Franny. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy September.
Yeah. Can't believe we're there. Especially when it's like over 90 degrees out, so.
Oh, I know.
Everyone, sorry, I didn't have my audio working, so I apologize if I missed anything.
Not yet. Welcome.
Thank you. How's everybody's weekend?
Well, I was moving this weekend, so it was not great.
Oh my goodness.
Not my favorite activity.
Hot weekend to move.
You know, I think we like squeezed it in before it got too hot today. So that was nice. So okay. Mostly settled in now.
Are you still close, Leah, or did you move far afield?
No, just a little bit further south. Yeah, just south down Hilliard, a few blocks. So not too much further. Although you won't see me sitting out on my patio probably as often anymore. Okay, I see that Amy joined us as well. Hi, Amy. Okay, I think we're at 7 members of SPC that are on. Remind me, Camille, is that's a quorum, right?
Actually, 8 would be a quorum.
Okay.
But so one more for action item.
Cool. Give it one more minute, then we'll get started.
Hey, Leah, you guys, quote unquote, waste time with a roll call.
Okay. I will go ahead and get started with roll call. I'm just going to go in the order I see you on my screen. So Emily Secord.
Present.
Franny Brindle.
Here.
Marianne Nolte.
Present.
Amy Cubbage.
Here.
Carl Yeh.
Here.
And then I see Sherry Moore on my screen as well. Sherry, are you here? Mike Eister, hello, welcome.
Sorry to be late.
No, we're just getting started, so that was, I'm going to consider that your roll call, that you're here. Sherry, can you hear us?
I think she was having a little bit of connectivity issues, but I do see her on the list. She is present.
Okay, excellent. Well, why don't we go ahead and jump in then? I think that is everybody. So I think this is gonna be a pretty short meeting, which I'm sure everyone appreciates a little bit of their evening back. So we'll try and get you guys out of here probably before 7 o'clock. We are going to quickly talk about STIF, kind of begin with an update on that process. That'll be kind of a recurring agenda item moving forward as that decision-making happens. We'll give a quick update on where things are with transit tomorrow and the discussion that happened at the board meeting a couple weeks ago. And then the rest of our meeting, we'll just be talking about SPC membership. So we have a few new applicants for membership to review to fill some of our vacant spots. And then talk a little bit about what a good kind of orientation process looks like for those new members to get them onboarded. And with that, we should be able to get you out of here. Anything that I'm missing or any additions to the agenda? Okay, we will move on to audience participation, public testimony. Do we have anyone who is planning to give public testimony? And if so, I will read.
I show one person.
One person. Okay, well, let me read through.
Perfect.
I'll read through the instructions here. So if you are interested in giving testimony, go ahead and use the raise your hand button on Zoom. If you're attending via phone only, you'll need to press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. When it's time for you to speak, Camille will call your name. And if you're attending via phone only, it'll just be the last 4 digits of your phone number that are read out. When you begin your testimony, please state your name, your city of residence, and who you're representing for the audio record. And then once you have provided your testimony, your hand will be lowered. Please don't raise your hand again. Only one opportunity to speak is provided. If you're unable or not wanting to speak publicly, you can provide your testimony via email to clerk@ltd.org. Your public testimony is limited to 3 minutes. So Camille has a timer up on the screen that'll start counting down whenever you're ready to get started. And you'll be able to watch that to the end of your 3 minutes. So with that, I'll hand it over to Camille.
Thank you, Leah. John Murray is first up to speak. John, go right ahead.
Thank you, Camille. This is John Q. Murray from Eugene, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Southeast Neighbors Transportation Committee. First, thank you all for your public service during these very interesting times we live in. I'd also like to acknowledge our board, Representative Don Norden, who has consistently encouraged us to participate in this process and aided us so much, given so much of his time. Thank you, Don. We would like to ask you as a committee to recommend that LTD officially cancel transit tomorrow. At the last general meeting, as you'll discuss later tonight, members of the LTD board, including strong proponents, noted that we now have completely different circumstances from what we had when we started that project. And even for that matter, as was said, when we were last barreling ahead with it in February and March, we as a committee, Southeast Neighbors, agree the environment has completely changed. We suggest that new work patterns, new travel patterns, and new priorities for equity in our society will require an entirely new planning effort that does not build on our pre-pandemic assumptions and pre-pandemic public outreach. So we ask that the committee make this recommendation to the full LTD board. Resolved that LTD discard its now obsolete project Transit Tomorrow and start anew with a new name to frame and guide this new planning effort, such as the LTD Multi-Year Community Recovery Transit Plan. Thank you.
Great. John, thank you so much for your testimony and for your continued advocacy around transportation in your community. We appreciate you being here.
And I am not showing anyone else wishing to speak at this time.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I see Greg Evans has joined us as well, it looks like. So welcome, Greg.
Welcome, Greg.
Yeah, thank you. I'm in the room. I'm sorry I'm late.
No worries. We're just getting rolling here. Okay, so we have just one kind of action item to get us kicked off, approval of the meeting minutes from our August 4th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move approval.
Okay, do I have a second?
A second. That's Marianne.
Marianne. All right, I will do a quick roll call to call in favor, Emily. Marianne. Mike?
Aye.
Amy?
Aye.
Franny?
Aye.
Greg?
Aye.
Carl?
Aye.
And Sherry?
Aye.
Great. Thanks, Sherry. And
do you hear me? Hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
For the record, I'd like to just state Emily Secord and Marianne Nolte both voted aye. The volume didn't come through. So just for the minute-taking record, thank you.
Great. We're all good on that? Okay, well, we'll go ahead and get into our updates for this meeting. We're gonna start with the update on the STIF process and what we can expect immediately as well as over the next few months. So Christina, I believe we have you here to do that update.
I'm gonna do that.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Tom.
And I'm going to share my screen. So I need Camille's help, I think. Maybe not.
You should. I should have approved everything. You should be good to go.
I think I'm good to go. There we go. Can folks see that? So just real quickly, this shouldn't take too much time, but as many of you that were on the committee last year might recall, we went through a process it was the first biennium of funding for the statewide Transportation Improvement Fund, and they're going through the second cycle starting here really soon. So what I'm going through now is, and this is available on ODOT's website. I can include the link in our notes to the meeting. But wanted to walk through this really quickly because it involves a process of decision making. And again, you might recall as members of in the past on SPC, that there's kind of a couple different levels of decision making. There is a STIF advisory committee that was formed of folks from across the county. And there were a couple of representatives from SPC that also participated on that committee. And that committee will receive all of the applications and make a recommendation to the board, who acts as the qualified entity in terms of making decisions on what ODOT calls the STIF plan. I think, yeah, STIF plan. So each county has to submit a plan for how they are going to use the STIF funds that are allocated to them for the period of time of the grant. And so the STIF Advisory Committee will be meeting at least twice, maybe three times over a period of time to make recommendations to the qualified entity, which is the board. As well, and as you did last time, SVC will make a recommendation to the board as well. The board plays two roles. One is the qualified entity, which is the entity that's appointed by ODOT to make decisions for the county as a whole. But we are also a transportation provider under the context of the STIF grant process. And so we will be receiving funds. And in that context, you would be making a recommendation to the board with respect to LTD's proposed application. There are two aspects to the STIF program. And in the first year, we did not, or first cycle, we did not participate in one of them. That was the discretionary application for funds. And that discretionary funding is think about it as primarily something that, by discretionary, it means it's available statewide to all eligible applicants for STIF funds. Discretionary means that it's not set who gets how much. Not as much as the overall STIF formula funds. But it is an amount that has been used largely for what I would characterize as capital-related items, vehicles, things that are longer-term assets. And so this year we are planning on submitting applications for discretionary money. As you can see, discretionary applications are not are just coming out this week, so we can see what the application looks like and start developing our responses. This is kind of by week for September, October, November, and on down to February. I'll get down there. The STIF guidance for formula funds isn't posted until October 1st. The STIF discretionary applications are due November 2nd. So let me talk about that, because that's what is going to affect kind of what gets onto your agenda when. So we're in September. So at your October meeting, we will be bringing you the details on what we're applying for discretionary applications, because it's in October at the October board meeting where they have to make a decision on approving the application, discretionary applications, and getting those submitted by November 2nd. So that again, from the context of SPC's agenda, some of that agenda, and we'll figure out exactly how much will be needed for you to consider the applications and make a decision on what your advice to the board will be. Just kind of moving on then, at the same time, kind of in parallel process, we'll be starting to develop our applications for the formula funds. And as you might recall, this funding is available at the county level, and then there's what's considered in-district and out-of-district. So within the county, so in-district is the LTD district, which includes the surrounding communities down to Cottage Grove, Fanita, Junction City, and then the metro area. That funding can be used for a variety of purposes. The majority of that funding is allocated to LTD for its use. And then there's out of district entities can apply. And so that's, if you recall, LCOG applied with their Link Lane service that's connecting right now Eugene and Florence. They're also operating the service that goes from Florence down to Yahats. So they applied for some funding, and they actually applied for in-district as well, because part of the route to Florence is in the district. And then South Lane Wheels applied for some funding. So you'll see that kind of range of applications coming to you. And again, in looking at the decision-making process, the STIF plans are due, this is the formula plans, are due February 1st, which means the board needs to make its decision here the third week of January is their normal meeting, which means your January meeting will need to be focused on making a recommendation to the board. And then, which means that you have the November and December meetings to potentially discuss the development of our applications. And so we'll have more to say on that specifically, I think, next month in terms of where that whole process is internally. Again, we're still waiting for some guidance from ODOT and the applications and all. So in a nutshell, I guess that's it. And I can answer any questions you might have on how this process works.
Go ahead, Mike.
So Tom, I'm a little bit confused about the STIF committee itself, the STIF advisory committee. Uh-huh. You talked about SBC, but I wasn't clear where the STIF advisory committee fits into this process.
Sure. So to begin with, the STIF advisory committee is a requirement of the STIF funds. So every entity, and sometimes it's a transit district, sometimes it's a county, the tribes in the state get a share of the funding as well. But each of them need to establish an advisory committee to consider the range of applications that might come in for a given county and make their recommendations to the qualified entity, which in this case is the board. So that's the role they play. And again, off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly how many members there were, but again, there were a couple of SPC members that participated. And then again, the role that SPC plays relative to what, and this may have been what you're asking about, relative to the advisory committee as well. The advisory committee is advising the board as the qualified entity. SPC is advising the board as one of the transportation providers. Is that clear?
Well, I guess I'm just a little fuzzy on when SPC is going to start meeting. And I think we've gotten some general correspondence from Kate at LCOG, but I'm a little fuzzy on like when our first meeting is going to be, for example. I don't know if you know that.
Off the top of my head, I don't. Okay. Kate and I haven't connected yet, but that's definitely in the works, and we'll send out an update.
All right.
I think to SBC for that.
Thanks.
Sure. Yeah, it's moving kind of fast, so I think that's important to make sure you guys stay in the loop. I'm sorry.
Just to Sherry, I have a question.
Yeah.
This is Sherry. Can you hear me?
Yes, Sherry.
I'm on the beautiful Oregon coast at the moment, so having difficulties. Anyway, I got an email from Kate from LCOG. I thought that I applied, but I haven't heard anything else back. I guess the question is for Mike. Have you heard something back from Kate? Because I never received any information back from her. So, I don't know whether I'm on the committee or not, I guess.
Yeah, I can follow up, Sherry. I can follow up with Kate on that. I saw that she sent everybody that had served on the advisory committee a note just asking them if they wanted to continue to participate. I assume if you did respond that you wanted to participate, that you're probably on. But let me follow up with Kate in terms of where that process is at.
And then I have another question about funding. If you have any idea, this is an employee tax, correct? So I think it's taking quite a hit. Do we have an idea what the funding will actually be this year?
Yeah, you know, at this point, in the last cycle, and this was a combination of actually 2.5 years that went into the first cycle, and it'll be 2 years for this next cycle. We had something on the order of $14.5 million. Let me see really quick here. Yeah, it was actually $14.9 million. And this cycle, and again, it's 2 years, not 2.5 years, but it's also, as you've pointed out, coming at a time where we're in the middle of the pandemic and payroll tax receipts, that's the source of funding, are down considerably. But they still expect we would be, for the discretionary funds, talking about $11.5 million. And those are details that I'll give you more precise numbers in I guess October. We'll know a lot more about specifically what we've got and can talk about that then.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it's less, and not by an insignificant amount either.
So, Tom, is the $11.5 million LTD specific, or is that for the?
That's for the county.
Okay, got it.
Other questions? Mary Ann, go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, I just have a question about, I know that SPC is going to be discussing these things in the future, and I'm wondering if you can help us know or just have a kind of sneak peek on what are the criteria that staff will be using to determine how you all would like to spend the discretionary funding, to just sort of let us know what's the thought process behind that as we have these discussions in SPC.
Sure, sure. So, and that's something that we can get into more next month, just in terms of we'll go through what the STIF program, kind of what the legislative intent is. But just to really generally describe that for folks, the intent is you can imagine has multiple purposes. One is the state of Oregon had not been providing a regular source of funding to its transit operators in the state. And not every state does, but many states do. And so this is an opportunity, given the state's larger goals, to provide transit funding for achieving those goals, whether it's climate change or equity. And with respect to equity, one of the things that they really were focusing on, and they heard a lot about in the development of their legislation, was that right now we have kind of a patch quilt of transit across the state. And part of the intent of the state in providing funding is to try and create a more cohesive transit network across the state. But also with an underlying intent to really connect lower income families and individuals living in outlying areas to provide them with access into region, you know, areas like the Eugene Springfield area or Corvallis or Albany, you know, the larger areas where jobs are and services are. And so that's one of the measures that they have. And then they also had an interest in supporting student transportation at the middle school, high school level. And of course, you may be familiar with the policy the board adopted that really created a youth pass that serves all ages up to 18. In addition, the U of O continues to have a pass, and we have a PASS program. So those kinds of things were kind of the underlying legislative intent. And last year, as you know, we had proposed a considerable amount going into increased service. You know, that was a big piece. And then I would say from LTD standpoint, the other big piece that we had just in terms of dollar amounts was replacement vehicles. And so the virtue of that is that the state funds actually serve as matching funds for federal funds, which allows us to use our local funds for service and other things. And so that was. Let me see. There was another one. Oh yeah. I mean, the other big thing that we invested in was mobility on demand. And so you saw the pilot spun up down in Cottage Grove. You saw the MGO pilot, and we're also in the process of developing a mobility management plan. So that funding went for that. And then the other funding that we applied for out of district was to support, as you may know, under contract, or we manage the contracts that put out the Rodi Express service in Florence and the Diamond Express service out to Oak Ridge. Mike?
Go ahead, Mike.
So Tom, when you talked about the $11 million countywide, was that for the discretionary or is there a separate amount for the formula?
That's for the formula funds. The discretionary are, there's no set amount for any entity. It's competitive at the state level. So TriMet will be applying for sure, and probably Salem, and any qualified entity can apply.
Thanks.
Any other comments or questions?
Hi, this is Franny. I thought when this comes up next month at our STC meeting, SPC, I mean, it would be, I think, really useful. We're going to get new members, I think, pretty soon. It might be also good to refresh our memories of what happened during the first round of the funding, you know, what got funded, both with the discretionary and the formula funds, so that when we're looking at this next year, this next 2 years, we can kind of get an idea and maybe build on some things or whatever. Might be helpful.
Yeah, no, that was my thought as well, just to give a more detailed review of what we applied for. And of course, we didn't apply for discretionary funds last year, but we can describe some of the projects that were funded with discretionary funds. I think that would be helpful.
Anyone else? Questions, comments for Tom? Okay. Well, thank you, Tom. We look forward to digging in and hearing what you all at the staff level are thinking about for the first round of funding or for the discretionary funds so we can give a good recommendation to the board.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. So I think our next agenda item is around transit tomorrow. So I think maybe we should start with, I can kind of provide the update that I gave from our conversation last month, and then maybe Tom or AJ, you can talk about, or Carl or Emily can provide kind of where the board landed at the last meeting. So as you all will remember, we talked a little bit about transit tomorrow last month and whether or not to recommend to the board to move forward. We didn't get as much time with that conversation as I think would have been productive to have kind of a concrete and singular recommendation, but I provided some kind of bullet points of what we talked about, you know, the kind of support for the underlying values of transit tomorrow, some of the, you know, unknowns around timeline, and maybe whether phase makes sense, you know, continuing ideas around kind of public involvement efforts. So that was kind of the brief update I gave. And then I don't know if someone wants to give an update to where the board landed. Carl or Emily, would you be able to give that update?
Yeah, I was just trying to remember where we landed on it. Maybe Emily can. I was thinking in my mind we were debating postponing for it for a while, and I'm struggling to remember if it was by 1 month or till November. I think it was November, but I'm not 100%. Emily, what did you remember?
I was just going to say that we did not really land on anything certain, so I did recall that we were going to postpone until we could come to either get more information or get a better consensus from the rest of the board members.
Carl, if you... So recall, the board requested information about the budget that we will bring forward in September. to be able to have that information in advance of deciding when that needs to come back to the board.
Thanks, AJ. I think what I was remembering was what I wanted to do, which was I would wanted it to go until November. So thanks for bringing the actual facts to the table.
So I think from SBC's perspective, we'll kind of wait to hear from the board on how we can be of service in this conversation moving forward, if this is something we revisit next month or in 2 months. And that's something I think for our maybe regular update, Marianne, to the board, we can kind of pose that question around how would it be helpful for SBC to continue engaging around this? And that is probably dependent on the timeline that the board lands on. Mike, go ahead.
I was just wondering if we want to have any discussion tonight about the point that was raised by the public comment in terms of the impact of how is workplace going to change. And I mean, there's a lot of unknowns about that, but it's hard for me to imagine that even after COVID is totally gone, that there is not going to be an increase in telecommuting and, working from home. And I don't know what the other implications are for transit. And AJ, maybe you're seeing things in the literature that would help us to be informed about how to think about the future of the workplace and how that might impact transit. That could be a very long conversation, but it seems like a worthwhile one at some point.
Very high level, nationwide transit ridership is down. And what transit is seeing, that people that are riding public transportation are low income, essential workers, and people who have no alternative, no automobile. So what we are seeing is very much in line with the transit tomorrow, is that it's choice riders, especially during this period of time and perhaps into the near future, may not return to transit for a while. But transit has to continue to play a vital role toward social and economic vitality of a community, because now more than ever, people are depending on that lifeline, which is the bus. This morning at our Oregon Transit Association, there was a lot of conversation about that. And at a recent APTA, American Public Transportation Association meeting, that was also the conversation that's happening. We're working closely with our legislators at the federal level to try to make sure that they know that transit is essential now more than ever to transit-dependent individuals. So although we are seeing that, yes, people are not going to return to transit if they have a choice, there's people who just don't have a choice. They're still dependent on transit, and LTD is running about 35% of our ridership, Tom, from what I saw the last numbers.
Correct.
And those are all transit dependent individuals primarily. We're still only encouraging essential travel while we're still in phase two of COVID. Those individuals still have the same need they've always had. Essential workers are still going to have that need, and low-income workers, they don't have that remote from work. Their work cannot be done at home. But we have lost, of course, all of the U of O, LCC, regular students, and any choice we've had. And we don't see them returning unless decisions are made to either reopen the large institutions or there's maybe a vaccine that people feel comfortable. So our community is very much following the same trend the state is and the nation is.
Emily,
I could just add something to Mike, you are asking a question that made me think about this. But I mean, the other dimension to this whole conversation is the time frame. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to be out of this in a few months. It's probably a multi-year proposition in terms of recovery. And so I think that plays into what we can do as we're on an ongoing basis, trying to balance both the resources we have and the service needs of the community.
Emily, and then
I just wanted to add, I think we also want to keep in mind from a strategic standpoint, the folks who are not just transit dependent, but who are opting for public transportation for either environmental sustainability reasons or their own personal financial sustainability reasons.
Mm-hmm. So from what's been said, it sounds to me that at least for a year or maybe 2 years, that LTD's plans need to lean toward coverage rather than productivity, if I'm understanding that correctly. Does that sound right?
Mike, I think what we're going to look at is to see where low-income individuals, seniors live, where employment is, and look at a model that serves those transit-dependent individuals. So coverage is typically not where there's high population density. So it's actually the reverse. You're trying to get at high-dense employment and high-dense housing to individuals that are transit-dependent.
The way I frame it, Mike, is we want to provide the most useful service to the most number of people. And so that's actually a ridership perspective. Yeah.
Carl?
Mike, I think you're getting at the exact nature of the issue, which is that we have to strike that balance again based on what the community tells us. And also, I mean, I think in fairness, we have to also balance what our transit experts and also what we as, you know, serving on these boards and subcommittees are trying to do, because we have a responsibility to the entire community. And sometimes, you know, certain communities may want something, but we also have to look at the bigger picture. So I guess the way I would answer your question is like, yeah, I mean, maybe in some circumstances, more coverage may make sense. And in other times, you know, more ridership makes sense. But I think and then one last thing to complicate it even further is that because we know we're looking at much reduced resources, it's going to look different. And I think the board understood that at the last meeting, that was something we had to tackle.
I did want to ask kind of along this vein, and this is probably for Tom and AJ, is LTD kind of participating in like countywide long-term kind of economic recovery planning to kind of get a sense of what that maybe future of work in Lane County does look like and how transit kind of plays into that?
Well, I can frame some stuff and maybe AJ has some of the more essential things that are happening, but just to frame the discussion, I mean, we're still, this community hasn't changed its goals around economic development and you know, particularly the city of Eugene with its climate change goals and equity goals. I mean, all those things are in play and affect how we think about what we need to be doing in terms of our service relative to the resources that we have. So, I mean, in that frame, AJ may have some more specific things going on.
Leah, to answer the question, yes, the county administrator, Steve Mokrzyski, has convened a group of not just metro area city managers, but also the entire Lane County city managers and other stakeholders like LTD, and also is having conversations with the school district superintendents as well. And what the goal he has is that as we're all talking together and out and moving in the same direction, that we will identify those areas that need our collective attention so that we can support the economic recovery. This is a topic that he felt needed to be done cohesively throughout Lane County, so that we're all moving together and that we're all learning and sharing ideas. We started that, I think it was the end of July with the first meeting. We had been talking about once a month, and then there was this pockets of conversation, but we had not had this cohesive meeting. So we've now been doing that for a little while. And there's a lot to be learned at those meetings to kind of see where we're going. Housing is a big issue that needs to be addressed. So I think that will continue to be an issue. And there's a lot of angst about what another stimulus package could or could not do. And if it doesn't do it, what do we do then? So know that there's like, it's not just about transportation, it's about all the moving pieces that go to it.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
If Greg is still on the line, I just wondered if he would like to weigh in, had any thoughts about any of this conversation.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I'm still here. Our council is going to be having a retreat at the end of the month, and I think that that's when our city manager is going to deliver the bad news as far as what's going to be happening with our budget, what our tax receipts are going to look like, and the future forecast and whether we may have to reduce staff or not. I think everybody is in the same place and same position. I think LTD felt it a little bit earlier, as well as LCC with layoffs. But I think we've got more of that to come. And, I've been having conversations with a number of small business owners, long-term business owners who have been in Eugene, and they're scared. They're very scared and not sure if they can survive or not. I stopped by my favorite restaurant, which is, my neighbor two blocks away. And he said, I can only last maybe another 3 months. And then I'm going to have to shut it down. There's a lot of anxiety out there, a lot of stress. I think our homeless population is going to increase. And we've already got, major problems with the homeless population that we have. So there's a lot of things that are going to be challenging over the next few months. As Tom pointed out, it's going to be several years probably before we can, write this shit, if we can. I think we're going to have a whole new reality. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thanks, Fred.
Did you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
I didn't like it, but we heard you.
Are there any other thoughts or comments around
Mike? Did you hear me?
Yes.
Could you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Greg. Yeah.
Can you hear me now? I wasn't getting audio. Yeah. All right. Let me sit down my video. Okay.
All right. Are there any other comments or questions or maybe responses to Mike's question around kind of the discussion and Transit Tomorrow's link with economic recovery. Yeah, Amy.
Yeah, just a quick thought. You know, I know that LTD has already invested a lot of time and resource into this planning process of Transit Tomorrow. So relying on, you know, our experts and the staff, if a move toward a higher ridership model, like, you know, we have been discussing, would actually benefit the folks who are, you know, the most transit dependent and impacted by the quality of the system, then maybe that's something we need to consider, that we, you know, we take advantage of that framework that's already there. Of course, you know, there are new budget constraints given the economics that we're dealing with now. So it's, I think that's another question for staff is how would we, you know, move in that direction? What would the timeline look like? What would the phasing look like if, you know, if we're dealing with less, you know, less revenue and smaller budgets for the changes that were we were thinking about originally?
At the risk of delaying this, I just want to say that there was a there was dissonance in what I heard. I assumed that coverage would be more likely to be the direction we would lean in if we're trying to serve low-income people that may not live along major routes. And so, I thought I heard Tom and AJ say that, no, we're probably still leaning more toward productivity. So that's a little bit inconsistent in my head.
Well, if I can try and clarify that, and for good or ill, we're using a lot of different terms, and you just used several in your couple of questions too. So productivity is a term. We can talk about that. Ridership we've used to describe, I think, a system that has enough frequency in it to make it attractive for use. Coverage is, again, a model where you're distributing resources, I would just say, in a thin fashion, so everybody gets a little bit of service. And I think what just to try and answer the question I think you're asking, in moving forward, again, I'm going to keep coming back to this. We're going to continue to be balancing given the uncertainties facing us for some time, as Greg alluded to. We're going to be balancing the resources we have to deploy for service and watching where the markets are for our services. And I think I've heard several people talk about essential workers and low income folks. And again, if you look at the concentrations of those populations, the bulk of them live along the frequent transit network.
Okay.
And so that's the equation we're looking at, is how do we deploy our resources in a way that provides the most useful service to those critical populations.
That helps, Tom. I wasn't assuming that low-income folks were concentrated on the FTNs. And if that's the case, then that helps to resolve the dissonance in my mind.
So I have a comment. You know, we are at the precipice of, can you hear me? Yeah.
Yep.
We're just about to talk about, you know, STIF funding, which is formula and discretionary. And, you know, this is also an opportunity for us to see if some of those, you know, this is hopefully a short-term kind of thing, a couple years maybe. We don't know until we can dig our way out of this. This is would be a good time to maybe look at those funds and see what we can do to, you know, help, you know, provide the coverage needed, you know, from the recommendations, you know, take that a little bit further to help the low income. I mean, that's what it's for anyway. This would be the time to deploy it specifically for those purposes. I think that would be really strategic.
Yeah,
Thanks, Franny.
Sorry, I was just taking notes. Other thoughts? Well, I think that's a really useful discussion. And I think that also helps me to formulate maybe, and Emily and Carl, hopefully you heard this as well, when we do provide a next update to the board in just thinking about what recommendations SPC can continue to give. Maybe there is this lens around economic recovery, how that fits into kind of future service changes and how we can kind of keep that as a key criteria in decision-making moving forward. Okay. Is that a hand, Carl?
Yeah, trying.
Go ahead.
As we get more facts coming in, it would be great to get SPC's suggestions on this too.
Great.
And Leah and Carl, I'm also curious what you guys think about messaging to the community that, you know, Transit Tomorrow is getting a little bit of a pushback from some areas, but the next iteration could look worse. I mean, with the economic resources changing, I don't know that people are really prepared to hear that. And I just want to maybe start having that kind of a conversation as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. and I think would be an important conversation for us to keep having. Any thoughts from anyone else?
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I just thought I would be the bearer of bad news just in case it's important to be considering that.
Right, certainly.
If I can just add to that, I think you're framing the uncertainty that mm-hmm. we face in moving forward very well. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else on that topic, we'll go ahead and talk about the last couple things on our agenda are around new members for SPC. So getting a sense of who those folks are, as well as some orientation needs to get folks up to speed on some big discussions and decisions we have over the next few months. So I'm going to hand it to Camille to give us a quick update there.
Thanks, Leah. So as a reminder to the committee, we currently have 4 vacancies, and I just wanted to take a moment to remind the committee, since it's been a while since we've looked at this information at the committee level, I wanted to remind the committee of what our membership criteria is for SPC and provide a look at what our current roster is. So I just wanted to throw that up really quick so that everyone could see it. I also wanted to take a moment to also review the appointment process. And this information will be posted on the website for review on your own time. And it is in the bylaws, which all of you also have, but I just wanted to throw it up for just a moment. So secondly, if I can find my correct screen here. What happens when you have too many windows open? There we go. So as a reminder, the appointment process is that the general manager, with the advice and consent of the board of directors, appoints the committee members that are separate from our static membership with our key partners and board of directors. So we wanted to just take a moment to also see if you wanted to review the applicants that have applied and that are being forwarded to the board of directors for review. Those applicants are posted online, those applications. You may have already reviewed them. If you would like, I'm more than happy to pull those up for review as well and answer any questions anyone may have.
Yeah, do you want to give us a quick overview of the applicants?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
So we have four applicants that were moving forward for approval from the board of directors or for the board's review. The first is Alma Jesus. She is with United Way. We felt like she would have a really strong voice in the matter of diversity, which would be very valuable for the committee. The second, every one of these zooms to a different level for some reason. Second is Pete Knox, and he is a local IT consultant and he's self-employed. We thought that he would have a very valuable voice, apologies for my fast scrolling, because he is actively on the Transportation Committee and Affordable Housing Trust Fund Advisory Committee for the City of Eugene. So we thought he would have a lot of valuable input to provide the committee as well. And again, I'm just giving a really brief explanation on these that are on the website for your review as well. Next is Philip, and I apologize if I mispronounce his last name, Shamui? Tom, I believe you know him.
Shamui.
Yes, thank you. He is a property manager with St. Vincent de Paul, and we thought that was a really valuable voice and representative of that community. They have a lot of really strong experience in the unhoused population in the community. And the fourth is Eliza Whalen. She is a student at the University of Oregon and a student researcher. And a lot of her experience is in transportation research. So we thought that was also a very strong skill set to potentially have on the committee. So that's just a real brief overview of the four candidates that we're forwarding to the board. And we're happy to hear any feedback you may have on them. Well, we really just wanted to maintain transparency and keep you apprised of the process and where we're looking.
Are there any questions or comments from SBC members? Yeah, go ahead, Marian.
Has the deadline passed for new applicants?
The open application period has closed. Yes, it closed on August 31st.
There are questions or comments? Got a thumbs up from Mike.
May I add something, Leah, to that? Mm-hmm. Just to say, we definitely wanted to make sure that we chose applicants that brought diversity to our committee here. We also wanted representation for someone who was a regular rider and transit dependent and who also represented individuals with disabilities. So we do have candidates like Pete who really have that background and experience. So we're really appreciative that he applied and is willing to help serve on this committee.
I think it's really impressive, these candidates. You know, like you were saying, AJ, the diversity is just going to be fabulous. And then the other thing about the disability candidate, I just think, you know, with disabilities, there's a lot of barriers to obtaining, you know, equity, basically getting what we all have. There's barriers that we don't even know about that make it a lot more difficult to get through certain things. Maybe it's educational or mobility wise or just too complicated to get on a bus to get from point A to point B. And I just think that it's really going to be great perspective to have those kinds of folks on the committee. So I'm happy about this.
Yeah, I reviewed the applications before the meeting, and I think they seem like four great individuals to add different perspectives, both professionally and kind of their experience as transit users or serving different parts of our community. The only one I know personally, and I'll just comment, is Eliza, who is one of the co-presidents of Live Move, which I think is a really important student group at UO to be engaged with, especially in terms of getting involvement from students. They're doing a lot around transportation projects. So, and she's quite sharp. So I think she would be a great addition as well. Is it helpful as a part of this process to have like a formal recommendation from SBC to share with the board? Or does this kind of just go directly to the board for their decision this month?
I think it's always valuable for the board to get
Oh, thanks, Emily.
Okay. So from what I heard so far is that as a committee, we're kind of supportive of this slate of candidates. See some thumbs, heads nodding. Okay. Do I need to do a motion, Camille?
No, this is really just kind of a head nod.
Great. So we'll make sure that that comes across in our quick update to the board next month.
So when would they be seated at the, you know, assuming the board accepts them, when will they start attending the SBCs?
It would be the October meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I think just our last agenda item is then knowing that for our next meeting, we'll have four new members. It's just really making sure to kind of be thoughtful about how we onboard those members. We'll obviously be talking about STIF funding, some STIF funding decision-making over the next few months, revisiting some of these Transit Tomorrow conversations potentially, as well as of course our strategic business plan, how we are supporting the board in that process. So a lot of big things on our plate over the next few months that these folks can contribute to. I don't know if Camille or AJ just want to start by kind of what the current orientation process is, and maybe we can give some feedback on how we can support that.
So historically, we have met with new committee members ahead of their first meeting to give them an overview of what the committee does. We also meet with them throughout the recruitment process to answer any questions they have, you know, inform them of the meeting schedule, current issues that are kind of on the table. There has not been a formal orientation process in some time. We are actually in the process of developing a new orientation process for all committees across the board. So this is really an opportunity for the committee to provide any feedback on what you think would be valuable in that process.
Can I offer an idea too? I mean, we're in the process, as Camille said, in developing a more structured orientation, but at a minimum, given that it's not that far away till your next meeting, that you might think about even just meeting beforehand, and I certainly happy to join you in that. Whoever might want to join you, obviously I know we have to worry about quorum issues and all, but that would just be an opportunity for you, Leah, maybe Marianne as well, to step through kind of what the group's working on and ask them if they have questions about things as well. So that's just something I could, is a practical thing I think we could do.
Yeah. Coming up here. Yeah. I was going to say that same idea. I'd be happy to meet with the new members. Maybe as a group makes the most sense, but would really welcome someone with maybe a little bit more history to join me in that, and Marianne certainly as well, I think would be useful to get kind of the long arc of SPC and in our work as a committee.
Well, as the chair, do you have ideas on who that might be?
That's a good question. I know, Mike, you are a fount of wisdom, but certainly I think I would welcome, you know, anyone else who is interested or available.
I think Amy has enough history and background. If she's available, she can, and Greg certainly.
Well, you know, maybe what we could do is if the meeting starts at, am I off mute?
Yes.
If the meeting starts next month at 5:30, maybe it's just of everybody can get here 15 minutes ahead of the meeting and do kind of a meet and greet, if you will, where each person on the call can do a little bit of a background on them, like, you know, where they, who they are, like who I am, where I work, what, you know, my role on the committee. And then, you know, the, as far as the history of the group, I mean, that's kind of hard for all of us. Maybe that's just, you know, what we've done in the past, our work plan is, I don't know, but maybe just like a kind of a casual meet and greet so that we can do a little icebreaker and then start our meeting at 5:30. I don't know, for anybody that wants to come early and meet the new people. As an idea.
Awesome head nodding.
I think that's a great idea. I just want to also remind the committee of we do need to adhere to public meeting law. So if there are enough of you meeting with new individuals that makes a quorum, we do have to do that in open session, just as a reminder.
So maybe we could start our session just a little bit early and then have that first part of the meeting be, you know, kind of a meet and greet and kind of go around after roll call and say who we are.
I'm fine with that being public.
Absolutely.
And public notice it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was just going to add, as long as I public notice that time change, time start change, that's completely fine.
Great. Yeah, Mike.
So one suggestion I had is that someone from the staff do a pretty thorough review of STIF because it's so unusual. It's so infrequent and somewhat complicated. So if someone could spend a few minutes with them before October, I think that would be good.
Oh, with the new members?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll set that up.
Other thoughts or suggestions on kind of orientation for the new members?
I don't have anything at the moment, but wondered if this was sort of a developing opportunity to weigh in down the road, or if this is kind of a last chance right now.
We always welcome feedback at any time.
Other thoughts? I think the other thing that is just on my mind, and maybe this doesn't have to happen before the first meeting, but is maybe like an ongoing orientation effort is around some of the long range planning that we'll be talking about in the coming months. I think we all have heard a lot about some of the long range planning efforts that are underway, and certainly a lot of that is changing given where we are, but getting more of a 101 on some of those planning efforts outside of the meeting. And maybe that's a similar model where it's, you know, 30 minutes before the meeting, we can do kind of a staff 101 on whatever topic we're gonna be talking about as kind of an ongoing effort for folks who might need that, either a brush up or are kind of new to LTD.
Yeah, we can definitely set up that. That's a good idea.
Cool. Greg, go ahead.
I don't know, Tom or AJ, you might be able to answer this question. Do we know if there's going to be any significant changes in our relationships with the Department of Transportation at the federal level.
When you mean regarding funding?
Regarding capital.
No, there should not be any significant changes. Actually, that's a great question. Only a transit guy like you would know that. We think that's really in the weeds, but that's a very good question. So what happens is the federal government provides us funding, transit agencies funding, based on formulas and criteria that you have to establish, including service provided and ridership. So as you know, with the lack of ridership, that would mean a great loss of funding to LTD. What the FTA said was they would hold everybody harmless. So for fiscal year 2019, that was last June 30th of 2019, they're going to use that year's data for the next year's funding. So they're actually, I believe they're going to take out all of this FY20, which just ended June 30th, and they may even consider not using FY2021 if this continues, because of course everybody's numbers would be all over the place. So because of that, and that's something that Tiffany Edwards, who's probably listening in here as a participant, she will work to make sure that they hold us harmless for the entire 2 years. I'm optimistic that they would provide that allowance, because even the current year has not resumed to regular service. So that means that how we operated for fiscal year 2019 would mean all our future, maybe a 2 year cycle of funding on that. Which is good news for us, because it was a stable year for us, and it's a good year for them to use our funding formula. But we will definitely keep you posted if this group has interest in that information. Mike?
I haven't kept up on DeFazio's infrastructure thoughts and possibilities for success. Can you shine any light on that?
Yes, nothing has moved into, has passed the Senate. So there was an invest package and a moving forward package that was being discussed in the House. The House actually passed a pretty aggressive investment package, but nothing passed the Senate. So at this point, unless there's some compromise from both sides, it's not optimistic. But of course, that's still ongoing.
Thanks.
DeFazio did share with us that he did not actually have expectation that it would pass, that it would be sometime after the election. However, he wanted to pass and have a framework developed from which they could work on. So that's what we see is happening on the House side, is that he's investing, I believe, it's $105 billion over, I believe, a three-year period that he's proposing, but not expecting that to pass until after the election.
Thanks.
So on how that goes.
Great. Other questions generally, or thoughts on kind of welcoming our new committee members? Okay, well, so for our next meeting, we will be, as we talked about today, focusing on STIF, discretionary funds, hopefully making a recommendation to the board around that. That'll be the bulk of our meeting, but we'll also be welcoming our new members, potentially talking about some kind of stakeholder representation tools. That's a conversation we've tabled for a little while to welcome our new members and talk about how we can best kind of represent our different stakeholder groups within the community. Marianne or I will be providing a quick update to the board at this meeting, just giving an update on our conversation around kind of recovery and how that links with transit tomorrow, as well as support for this new slate of members. Anything I'm missing? Any final thoughts? Okay. Well, I will then go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you all so much for meeting tonight.
Good job. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.